Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
Not a game. We're talking about practice.
On KMOX.
Blues beat the Canadians 4-1 tonight. Welcome to our fourth period coverage from Enterprise Center. Chris, Joey, Alex, Amy, Ryan, Mike Anderson back in our KMOX studios. Joey likes to chirp Mike Anderson, Anderman, during the break.
That's his nickname. That's his nickname from high school. He showed me, he took a picture of his high school jersey.
I know. You like to chirp him, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like to. I thought you meant the actual name. No, I like to get under his skin a little bit.
Who was the best chirper that you played with and played against? Like the most creative, not necessarily dirty, but the guy who would piss you off, but also maybe make you chuckle.
I think Steve Ott was really good. Oh. He was solid. Everything he told me, I cannot say here. Nice. Brad Marchand was a little cleaner.
Did he ever lick you?
Wow. No, he never licked me. He called me his pool man for a while. And
pool
then
man.
I said, well, then fight me. And he says, why would I fight my pool man? Which kept, hurting me worse and worse.
Steve Ott, when Edmonton was here before they got good, when they had Taylor Hall. I don't know what's going on here.
Amy doesn't know how to put a right microphone on.
Oh,
she's holding
the
wrong microphone.
On. Well, you could just hit the button to turn that mic on.
Oh. Well, she's sitting in Chris Kerber's chair, using the middle mic. She's wondering why no one's listening to her.
Hey, ever been on Radio Marconi? How's that for a chirp? Invented the radio.
If Chris Kerber's listening, she lowered the chair.
Yeah.
She lowered the chair to the bottom.
I was talking into a microphone that was connected to
way to work a headset, Doc Emmerich. When Kelly Chase was between the benches a couple of years ago, and Taylor Hall was on Edmonton, the Blues were, I think, waxing the Oilers, and I don't know, it was towards the end of the game, and Chaser had his mic up, I think, during a break, or was standing down there and started laughing, and Steve Ott might have been our guest at O.B. Clark's after that game, but he called Taylor Hall. He was like, hey, Seabiscuit. Hey, Seabiscuit. He's calling him Seabiscuit the whole game. And he said, because you're not doing anything but taking laps as fast as you can.
That's good.
Did he ever give you a reason for calling you his pool boy?
No, he never.
Pool boy.
No, he never said that.
Did he think you looked good in a swimsuit?
No,
is
I
that
think
why?
Maybe. No, I think he just thought that I'm not really quite to his pay grade. Like, he's not going to waste his time with me. Like, go clean my pool, buddy. Wow. And that was probably Brad Marchand. That was probably as clean as you can get. Robert Bortuzzo, to answer your original question about who I played with, Robert has really good chirps. You see him talking down there. And sometimes even he takes it, over the line, where you're as a teammate, you're not, encouraging it. You're like, oh, geez, that's...
Because there's, a little bit of truth to it,
That's
mean?
A little low. Oh, really cut hard there. Really cut hard.
Like your mama
jokes. Guys are doing research, huh?
Yeah, and then we'd ask him on the bench, hey, Robert, what was that about? He's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that.
I saw a great clip from the Epics documentary a couple of years ago when the Blues were getting ready to play the Blackhawks in the Winter Classic, and the Red Wings were playing the Maple Leafs, right, in the Centennial Classic. And it was, again, Steve Ott when he was with Detroit for that final year, and it was the alumni game, and they had a bunch of guys in the room with Detroit before the game, and I think it was Chris Draper and some guys are saying, do you guys even chirp anymore? Do you guys even chirp anymore? And Ott, in his last year as a player, said, not really. I had a young guy turn to me the other day when we were getting ready to take a draw, and he was like, hey, Ott. And he told me my plus minus was bad or something. Very analytically driven, huh?
Yeah.
They're chirping about your numbers.
Steve Ott's Twitter is the best when he was a player. His background on his Twitter, someone was holding up a sign, I guess, when he was on the ice, and it said, Steve Ott sits when he pees.
That's
I promise
harsh.
You, that was it was a.
Do you remember the Hunter Pence signs during the playoffs?
Oh yeah, those were amazing.
Like in and around San Francisco.
But I think that might be the best sign I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
that's pretty good.
That's very aggressive. But then take that to a game.
That's hurtful.
Take that
would
to a game.
Would that hurt if someone told you that, Joey?
That would hurt me.
You could be creative like the Rangers fan, and then maybe Crosby will give you a signed stick after the
there
game.
There you go. Yeah,
that was cool.
That was really cool.
I think if anybody's to chirp Joey, it's you use the same toothbrush as your wife.
Yeah.
Which
but that's true.
No, but he's proud of that.
I was a little like gagging.
Oh, really?
When I was
too.
Listening to that.
Hey, Vitaly, you think D batteries go in a smoke detector?
You guys have never been in love. What do you want me to say? I'm sorry.
Pretty sure I've been in love, and love
is
not involved.
Married.
No, that's different.
Love
and marriage is
love
different.
Love does not involve brushing your teeth with the same toothbrush.
Love is a fusion, you know?
You guys ever.
We can get deep out here, actually.
You guys ever go have Z's on a couple feet of floss?
Oh, God, that's even worse.
I'm not going to go halvesies on floss.
What, do you guys share toothpicks when you leave the restaurant? Here, honey, I'm done.
No, those
Clean
are free.
Yours.
You can grab those. Yeah. Blues 4-1, believe it or not, over the Canadiens tonight. Alex and Amy were down in the room. We heard from Oscar Sundquist as he came off. And just, I'm wondering, for all you guys, I think that oftentimes we've talked about young players progressing this year, and we've talked a lot about Robert Thomas. We've talked about some of the youth that has been in the Blues lineup, has been contributing for them. And I know Sundquist has taken a huge leap this year. And, you know, Joey, to start, I think one of the things that, you know, Coach Van Ryan pointed out after the game was that he was in a lot of fourth line situations, and they're trying now consciously to put him in more offensive situations, which means that he's kind of forcing their hands. For a player that's young but does have some NHL game under his belt already and has been playing a fourth line role, that's pretty impressive to see him take the leap offensively at this stage in his career that he has.
Yeah, it is. And I think when he started this year, you had him slotted in as a fourth line. I mean, I don't know if they really even had them with a pen. I think he was a pencil player. And, you know, talking to some of the management at the beginning of this season with all the options, I mean, with.
Well, he was also coming off that concussion.
Off
that
concussion. We thought, you know, maybe he gets healthy, then you send him down in the minors. And it's just a player that just kind of was in the pencil in the fourth line there. And it's just amazing to see how he has just evolved and become not just such a good player defensively, like you mentioned, but now he has that offensive touch and he's feeling confident and. You know, his personality, the guys love him in the locker room. You know, he's out here thanking us for the interview. I mean, just the personality he brings to the game, he can score goals. And I remember when I was in Toronto, and I hate this story because I hate the name drop, but I'm talking to Sid, my former teammate.
Wait a minute. Is he your friend?
Yeah, Crosby. He's one of the best players in the league. Yeah, I taught him a lot.
Do you guys talk a lot?
We do. We talk all the time. But, you know, it was an interesting conversation because they're in Toronto practicing. We were in Toronto, and we saw Sonny while we're watching practice. And he goes, oh, there's Sonny. How's Sonny doing? I said, Sonny's doing pretty good. You know, it's still early. He's just getting back from the concussion. And I said, what did you guys think about him? He goes, oh, what a guy, all this stuff. But I'm telling you right now, we should have never have let him go. I go, really? And he goes, I swear to God, this guy is a player. He can go. He can skate. He's physical. He can score goals. He's an unbelievable guy. I don't know why we traded for him.
You know,
and I remember that. I was like, interesting. And then after that conversation, I was just like, I started to really see what he was talking about.
I think there are some parallels, too, because it says a lot about Ryan Reeves and the kind of year that he put together, Amy. We talked about it in intermission when he was with Kyle Brodziak and Scott Upshaw on that fourth line. And then Ryan gets traded for Oscar Sundquist and a first-round pick, which turns into Clem Koskinen. That year, that Blues fourth line, second only to Washington in total fourth-line points. And now we're seeing Sundquist not only score 5-on-5, but on the penalty kill, I told you guys earlier, he reminds me of Brodziak and Upshaw because he seems to end up with a scoring chance or at least offensive zone possession every penalty kill.
Yes. And before I get into that, did you tell Sonny what Crosby said about him?
No, never.
Is that like against the rules? That would be the first thing I would do. Be like,
no,
oh my gosh.
No.
Sonny, you're not going to believe this.
No, he's too nice. I don't want his head to get too big.
Look at you go.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do one of those things in the locker room where you hand somebody a note.
You don't
not on the note, it just
you don't
says.
Think guys listen to the post game show when they drive home?
Oh, he might be.
Sonny listens
Oscar,
to Joey whenever he can.
Text Joey right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool though.
But you know, it was after that, about 2 weeks, and you know all the broadcasts, we talked to coaches, whether head coaches, assistant coaches, and I'm not going to get into who we were talking to, not that it really matters, but a lot of those conversations should be kept quiet. But we were talking to one of the coaches, and we asked him about Sundquist. One of the broadcasters asked him, what's the deal? I mean, is he in? Is he out? Where do you see him fitting in? Because I just don't see much, and I'm not going to say who said that, but one of the coaches went to bat for him in that moment, and usually – you'll have a coach that kind of like will agree with you in some respect, but then kind of say, well, this is my opinion. But the coach we were talking to, he stopped us in our tracks, said, I'm telling you right now, you guys are wrong. This guy is a player. We really like where his game's coming. We like where his game's going. We like him in this room. He's a part of this culture, and we think he can be the catapult or the catalyst for the style of hockey we want to play. And that kind of really got all us broadcasters thinking, wow, there's a belief in this kid. There's something with this young kid that the coaches really like, and it kind of really started opening our eyes more to him. And ever since then, his game has just continued to excel and improve in so many ways.
He kind of embodies kind of the north-south, simple, get it on the forecheck. Yeah.
And I've asked him about it a couple times, and it's kind of become a joke. I'll walk up and I'll go, straight lines? He's like, straight lines. He goes, that's what I have to do. And
First of all, thank you for the question.
That was Russian.
That was more Russian.
Yeah.
It was more Vladdy.
Sweden.
Work on.
Yeah, Bowden.
Hang on, Mike Anderson, you should cue it up so we can actually... First of all, thank you. I thought it was good. But, sorry.
Oh, was that it? Oh, yeah.
It's like the Office episode. You're getting to put more molasses in your voice. Now do the chef.
Yes, the straight lines. But basically, he said, he and Barbashev, that's something that they talk about off the ice, but also on the bench. This is what they need to do to stay in the lineup. And he goes, we know that a simple game is what we have, and that's what we have to play. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's what a coach wants, is a player who knows how to play the system, knows his role, and has complete buy-in in that role. And Barbashev and Sundquist have complete buy-in in their role.
And Craig Berube just talked about that post-game, saying that the offseason said a lot about Oscar Sundquist because he put a lot more into his training. He came into camp slimmer, faster, and ready to improve his offense. And I think that's what you've seen this season. He's going to the net. He's playing north-south. He's making plays, and he's finishing. I think that's what's more important. Last year, he wasn't able to finish. He didn't get a lot of chances, but
he didn't
finish. That joke is so lame. Look, she had to pull the microphone away from her face because Amy,
that's not supporting your partner.
No, that's really not, Amy. There will be payback later.
No, I mean, and to both your points about the style he plays and how he plays it on a consistent manner, and listen, this is a tough style to play and stick with in a season when the Blues are struggling like this. I remember that as a player, where you have a set of tools, you have a style of play, up and down, north, south, finish hits, get in on the forecheck. Yes, that's great when the team's winning, and anyone can kind of fit in that identity when the team's doing well, but the challenge comes when the team is not doing well, when the team is sliding, when you're always chasing a game. That's when a lot of times players get outside themselves. They lose that identity because they try to do too much, and that's when players really suffer. But, Barbashev and Sundquist both have stuck with that regardless of the score. They keep sticking with that type of style that has made them so successful up to this point.
It's the fourth period. Blues over the Canadiens 4-1 tonight. Chris, Alex, Amy, Joey, let's take another break. We'll come back. We're hanging out for the next 20 minutes or so. I want to talk a little bit about what the Blues have coming up, and then who knows what else. Maybe havesies on 2 feet of floss. Back in a moment on your home for the Blues, KMOX.
This is a Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back. Blues 4-1 over the Canadiens tonight. We are hanging out for another 10 minutes or so. Jordan Binnington picks up another win. I was wondering during the game, and then Montreal got a power play in the second period, when the last time is an NHL goalie has recorded shutouts in his first two career starts back-to-back. Because I know
there's only one other goalie.
Other Blue who had a shutout in his first career NHL start. So
and only 35 ever, right?
Yeah, so I wonder if anyone's done it twice. I would say looking through the notes, didn't see anything, but I know Binnington asked after the game, and he said, I don't know if it's me, if it's Jake, whatever. Joey, we talked a little bit with Curbs after the game on our post-game coverage about, listen, it's great to ride a hot hand, but you've got a heavy workload here over the next couple of weeks in terms of games. before the All-Star break and before getting a couple of days off, and you're going to need both guys.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty strategic.
Today,
it's
going to
be a pretty strategic approach for Craig Berube. And,
with the calendar.
With the calendar. I mean, I think that and he has good options now. I think before, a week ago, you're looking at a situation where you're going to have to ride Jake as much as you can and give him a little relief here and there. But I think it's going to be a little bit different now based off of the two performances we've seen out of Jordan Binnington, how composed and how aggressive he looks. And, you know, he's really paid his dues in the minors, and he looks very comfortable out there. And with a lot of the back-to-backs, I expect if he keeps playing like this, we're going to see some even ice time.
I know a goalie is such an easy lightning rod, but it's not like Jake's been playing poorly. I think he's been playing pretty well. And Dallas game, Islanders game, a couple stick out because a couple of goals in bunches. But there are games over the last few weeks, even games they lost, that he's kept them in it. And, you know,
it's not that he's playing bad. It's just that one or two goals that he gives up that are weak. Like, if you look at it as a whole, in those 14 games that he played, there were three games he was pulled. And beyond those three games he was pulled, he had a sub-2 goals against average. I mean, that's really good. He had a 94 save percentage. Like, that's good.
For instance, look at Carey Price's numbers this year.
Exactly. Yeah. But when you think about it, it's just it's like the Dallas game, right? Like, after that third goal that went in, which was weak, he was unbelievable. He kept them in the game.
Yeah.
It's just that one goal that he gives up that's so frustrating.
And goalie numbers are deceiving, too, because Jake had such strong numbers, but then if you isolate his home numbers, they're not great. But at the same time, the team in front of him is not playing well.
It has nothing to do with Jake in the beginning. And it was all the team.
Yeah, and we were talking about how there were times that the offense was really rolling and the defense was a mess, and then the defense pulled together and the offense couldn't produce.
Also, Blues penalty killing at home, 24th in the league this year.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
And so Jake is always between the pipes as you have these variations in play and performance between the offense and the defense and the home play, and it's going to mess with his numbers.
Look at the first month of the season. How many grade-A scoring chances were the Blues giving up on Jake Allen? I mean, there were at least five or six times in almost every game that felt like a player was in front of the net, not touched for a good 5 to 6 seconds, that could basically dust off the puck, pick it up, and then throw it at the net. I mean, no goaltender, like, you have to be Patrick Waugh to stop those. So it's not all on Jake, and I know people like to throw it that way because I don't know if it's an easy go-to or just because if they're looking strictly at the numbers, but this game, Joey, this goes beyond the numbers. This isn't baseball. Like, it goes deeper than what a goals against average or a save percentage tells you.
Yeah, I think goaltending, to be fair and honest, it's a crapshoot. I think it's a volatile position. I think a lot goes into goaltending numbers. You know, people want to always compare pitching to goaltending in baseball, but it's very different. It's very different because
you're the only player in baseball, the pitcher, I'm sorry, but you're the only one who nobody else affects what you do.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to find longevity in the goaltending position because, listen, you have a team that's playing in front of you, and a lot of your success depends on how that team's going to play. A lot of your success depends on what kind of style the coach is going to play. Does it complement your style? I mean, there's so much that goes into it. I mean,
it's almost like a quarterback.
Yeah, you mentioned Carey Price. I mean, look at DiPietro. I mean, look at all these goalies. Yeah. It's very hard to find a long you know, every now and then you'll find with Marc-Andre Fleury here a little bit. I'm trying to think recently, but Cam Ward's another one. You sign these big contracts, and look, I'm watching Carey Price here tonight. I think arguably one of the best goalies in the league.
Hall of Famer.
I truly believe he's one of the best goalies in the league. And nothing the Blues did, no goals that they scored really wowed me. I didn't think, oh my God, no goalie could have saved that shot.
Yeah.
You have two fourth liners that scored tonight. Jay Bouwmeester. You had Oscar Sundquist, Sammy Blay, Jay Bouwmeester, and then a 19-year-old. Yeah. I mean, none of those goals really jump out at you. I mean, you can make the same case if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan and say, what the heck's wrong with Carey Price? So
those guys combined for 4 goals last season.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The four that scored tonight, 4 goals last season.
Yeah, and it's a great goaltender, and you can compare it however you want or whatever you want to think. But to be fair, I think he's been solid. I think he's had a couple soft games. I thought he's had a couple soft goals. But that's just going to happen. And I think there's a team in front of him that has really been lackadaisical at times and has really hurt him in his numbers, especially here at home. So,
you're going to have to play Jake in the stretch of games. What is it? 9 of the next 10 on the road. You have a couple of back-to-backs coming up. But
25 of the next 40 on the road.
I don't think there's any question that, at least for the near future, Jordan Binnington should get a bulk of the games. He's earned it.
Yeah, and I think, too, with Jake, I think he's had a bit of bad luck that maybe some of his weaker goals have come on the very visible plays,
yeah,
like a breakaway
mm-hmm.
or the odd man rush, where you could argue that, well, there shouldn't have been a breakaway or an odd man rush in the first place.
But you got to stop that.
You've got to stop it, which is why Binnington's big saves, you know, he made solid saves throughout the games, but you're going to remember the visible ones like the Jonathan Drouin breakaway.
Yep.
And, in fact, one of the reporters in their locker room asked Binnington, do you have a favorite save tonight? He goes, oh, I guess the one
question.
On Drouin. He's like, did you have one? But I saw Tatar skate over, kind of swoop
yeah.
by Binnington after that save. And so I asked him, I said, hey, did Tatar say anything to you? He goes, yeah. He leaned over and he goes, that was close.
But look, awful. Joey, you played in front of Marc-Andre Fleury for a couple of seasons. I don't think there's any question that when a goalie makes a highlight reel save or when he makes a save because of a defensive breakdown, that gets everyone else up. That everyone else's response on the team looks at that and says, okay, that was our bad guys. We need to play better for him.
Yeah, and I think that the 5-on-5 play tonight was really, really solid. But like, you know, I was talking to Chris Kerber on the postgame. I don't think it was perfect. I think that it was leaky at times. And
yeah.
Mike Van Rijn backed that up with some plays in particular. He was thinking, yeah, we got to clean up some things in the defensive zone. We shouldn't be giving up those great A's. But those great A's happen. A game's not going to go perfect. But you have those saves. And there was one save tonight that, to answer your question or your comment there, Alex, you know, I think players respond well to big saves, but I think they respond even better to saves where you see the goalie really competing. I remember Delorier came down in that third period.
Yeah.
He shot it, and then the rebound came right back to him, and he shot it again, and Binnington had to get back over for the second save. And Delorier,
yeah.
he covers his face. He looks to the sky like, how did that not go in? Those kind of saves, those are the Marc-Andre Fleury saves, the ones where you really stick with the battle. The goalie is really going to bat for you.
Mm.
That sends a shockwave across that entire bench, and you want to battle for a kid like
yeah.
that.
You know, I think it is important, though, to keep in perspective. Like, even Marc-Andre Fleury, who was unbelievable last year, got the contract. He got replaced in the postseason and then, you know, got left unprotected for the expansion draft. You look at some of the numbers around the NHL right now, Jonathan Quick has been outplayed in L.A. for most of the year by
he's been
a youngster.
A lot too.
Corey Crawford has been outplayed at times in Chicago
mm-hmm.
by Cam Ward. And his save percentage is right around 90%.
Bobrovsky, and Delia in Chicago has been playing
Delia's
really
been
good
really
hockey.
Good, too. Look at Bobrovsky and the struggles they've had with him and now the off-the-ice issues they've had with him. Carey Price, a 908 save percentage. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist, 907 save
mm-hmm.
percentage. You can pick and choose, and it's so hard based on the team and based on one game. And, you know, the numbers, I think, can be inflated or deflated, and we don't always get a true representation of how well that guy is playing. You know, it's tough, but they're the ones that are the lightning rod. They're the ones that become the whipping boys for fans and become the focus of criticism.
And I think when you go through struggles like Jake has, it's – well documented of January and February with Jake Allen. And I think when you go through stuff like that, I mean, look, he in the offseason had to go through some different training aspects when it comes to the mental side of this game. So, I mean, things are more glaring in that aspect. Like, if Pekka has a bad couple of games, people aren't worried because it's Pekka. But if Jake Allen has a bad couple of games or a bad couple of goals, the conversation immediately goes to, oh, wow, the goalie's look at him. We got to find a better goaltender who can stop pucks and things like that. That can't be easy. And I know we always talk about this, and Chris Kerber talks about this so much, the personal side of this. And I know fans don't like to hear it, but these are people too. And you got to remember that there's a lot going on his head just as much as there's going on in anybody else's head.
If you did a blind resume, his numbers are almost identical to Henrik Lundqvist this year. So we'll see what they do over the next couple of weeks, and I imagine that, yeah, because of the back-to-backs and because of the volume of the schedule, they will have to do some splitting, and they will have to give both guys some time in the net. Appreciate it, guys. That was fun.
Thanks, man. We're going to hit the road.
Anytime, Chris.
Yeah, we'll
on
see
the road
you,
again.
I mean, I'll see you after the All-Star break,
on the road again. You got to work on my lyrics.
Take us out.
Do you not know the words?
For Joey, Alex, Amy, Ryan, Mike Anderson, Chris Trebby, saying have a great night. This has been the fourth period. Blues over the Canadians 4-1. We'll talk to you tomorrow on KMOX.